All right, joining us right now is an NFL Network analyst, an NFL on Fox analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at CFD22. He is a good friend of the program. He is Charles Davis. Charles, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well, and if I might add, a happy birthday to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Charles. I appreciate that. That's great of you to say. All right, so you were in Minnesota for the Eagles and Vikings yesterday, and the Vikings had struggled in the passing game early in the season. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs were clearly frustrated by things. When you watch Kirk Cousins over the course of the season, what kind of quarterback did you see coming into yesterday?
Well, I saw a guy that, you know how we overuse terms, Jim? I mean, let's face it, when buzzwords hit, we take them and beat them into the ground, right?
Sure.
So when a quarterback really takes care of the football but doesn't really press things, right, you don't get a lot of offense, you get good numbers, but at the end of the game you walk away going, but what did he actually do? We use the term risk-averse, don't we?
Right.
And that's what you thought of with Kirk in a lot of cases. Now, I've seen him push it before. We did a game of his with Washington at Seattle a couple of seasons ago, and late in the game pushed it downfield to Josh Dotson and won an improbable game, but not enough of that, right? His record against above 500 teams, against teams in top 10 on defense, all of those are negative numbers for him. But after the firestorm of Stephon Diggs not showing up for meetings, getting fined $200,000, after Adam Thielen's post-game comments where when you saw it in total, you knew it wasn't a rip at his quarterback, but really how are we running on offense? But his bottom line is that's how it was taken. We've seen a different Kirk Cousins the last 2 weeks, and I think part of that has to go to, or I should, part of the congratulations have to go to Kevin Stefanski and the offensive staff, their offensive coordinator. They got aggressive, Jim, and they said, we're going to push it a little bit more. You need to come along. And Kirk Cousins did. And look at the Giants game. Okay, great. So we can discount that because the Giants weren't that great on defense. This past week against Philadelphia, who had 10 sacks the week before against the Jets team, who just beat Dallas, they took their shot. He fit the ball into some tight windows. He threw the ball deep, and boy, did they have a game. And I think they're going to try and play that way the rest of the season because Mike Zimmer, their defensive coordinator slash head coach, or should I say head coach slash defensive coordinator, he's gotten more aggressive on his defensive calls as well. That Vikings team has a different vibe to it.
Charles Davis joining us. He actually gave me to my next point. I was going to say, it's one thing to do it against the Giants because, as you point out, Charles, everybody said, great, that's the Giants. Do it against somebody who matters. Do it against somebody like Philadelphia. And then he did that. So to your point, pick that up. Is this something you expect them to carry throughout the season, or do you still have questions?
No, he should carry it throughout the season, Jim, because if he doesn't, to your point, the questions will still be out there because the questions are going to remain all the way through the rest of the year. You know that after all these years that Kirk has played, he's still in a prove-it stage to people, right? You don't erase a well below 500 record against good teams with a couple of ball games. He has to do it consistently. The Vikings have to show up in the playoffs. He's got to consistently beat good teams, he and his team. But I like where they're going offensively. Remember, Kevin Stefanski is a first-year offensive coordinator, but they married him up with Gary Kubiak as a consultant. And Kevin was all on board for that because he knows Clint Kubiak and he knew Gary. And that is starting to work for them. The running with Cook, throwing it to other people. The kicker is it felt like a firestorm, and you know, with all these receivers complaining. And Kyle Rudolph, and you know him, Jim, he's one of the nicest guys in the league. I teased him, and I told Kirk to his face. I teased Rudolph and said, hey, you ought to go ahead and complain about not getting the ball and tell Kirk right, coming on his podcast. And maybe you'll get a few balls thrown to you. And we all got a kick out of it. But look at the last 2 weeks. Thielen says something. Last week he gets seven balls, 130 yards, two touchdowns. Diggs misses the meetings and the whole deal. This week, he's the primary guy. I told Rudolph, you better get on board, dude. You're going to get left behind.
That's funny.
These guys are getting all the passes.
I like that. Charles Davis joining us. All right, so where does that leave Philadelphia? They've had an up-and-down season. They've beaten the Packers in Lambeau, but they lost to the Falcons. They were blown out by the Vikings. And now you've got Doug Peterson, who already called a shot. He said Philadelphia is going to go to Dallas on Sunday night, quote, and we're going to win that football game. Look, Charles, it should come as no shock that a head coach expects to win a game. But what do you make of him making a public statement like that?
I think he's trying to show his team that he's confident in them. I think he's trying to show his team that hey, look, we've had our ups and downs, and you know the Philadelphia media, and you know how the fans are. My best example is this team won a Super Bowl, what, two seasons ago, right?
Right.
They made it to the playoffs last year despite a ton of injuries and a backup quarterback again. they still are in first place in their division. And I ran into a person where I was going to work out, and she's like, oh, my God, the Eagles, they're a disaster. That's what you're dealing with there. So I think he's trying to pump up his team a little bit, let him know that he still has faith in them, he still has confidence. I did not like the fake field goal call right before the half, but that is emblematic of who Doug Peterson is, that he's going to push the envelope, he's going to go, and he'll be unapologetic about it. I just think that for Philadelphia now, the one thing they have to keep in mind for a team that wants to press it is that everyone knows that's their M.O. Like, if I'm on field goal block or punt return and I'm playing Philadelphia, Jim, I'm not rushing unless the game's on the line, because I'm going to play them for a fake every time, because that's kind of where they are. They are the type of team that will do that. And I would, at this point, I just want the football, or I want to see him miss the field goal. That's all I'm looking for, because when you rush them, when you do other things, that's when they can sting you with their trick plays. Minnesota was well aware of that, and they were so ready for the fake field goal. I went back and looked at it on the way home. Anthony Harris is the safety. He pretty much ran to the receiver because he was locked in on it, and he didn't care about whether they kicked it or not.
They knew. Charles Davis joining us for a few more moments. All right, so if Peterson's right in what he says, and he guarantees that win, and they win that game, and then Dallas ends up losing four in a row after winning their first three, where does that leave them and specifically Jason Garrett?
If we think the sky falls in Philly, it does the same thing over the big sky in Texas, too. And I really believe that Jerry Jones and his family and Will McClay, the personnel guy, I know they believe in Jason Garrett. But he did not get the contract extension. All right? They're kind of making him, you know, sing for his supper, so to speak. I think Jason has embraced that challenge. But they were struggling on offense yesterday. But you remember, both tackles didn't play. Okay? The other side of that is, to me, is the defense, Jim. That defense should be dominant in a lot of cases. I don't feel like they've played up to that level, especially in recent weeks. So Dak's getting all the attention, you know, after the 3-0 start. His numbers aren't the same, blah, blah, blah. All of that is true. I think if you look at the defensive side of the ball, they've given up too many big plays, and they're not as dominant as you might expect in the run game. So that's where things have to jump up, because you talk about Leighton Van Der Esch, you talk about Jalen Smith, a defensive front like Malik Collins doesn't get a lot of attention, but boy, is he tough inside. People shouldn't be able to run the ball the way that they have, and those big plays are given up on the perimeter. That would be of concern to me. Chidobe Awuzie has had a couple of those in recent weeks.
He is an NFL Network analyst. He is an NFL on Fox analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at CFD22 and a good friend of the program, my man Charles Davis. Charles, so good to have you back. I appreciate that. Thanks for starting us off.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim. Again, enjoy your birthday hanging out with knuckleheads like me. I appreciate that, and we'll talk down the road.
My man, you're the best. Appreciate you, Charles, very much. Always, always have, always will. Charles Davis. Believe me, I wish that was the type of, quote, knucklehead I could hang out with on my birthday. And not the knuckleheads on the other side of the glass. Starting with you, Hawk.